The following program represents the views of the speakers and not necessarily those of KCBX. KCBX welcomes the comments of those with divergent views, and our phone number for today is 805-549-8855. Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, eavesdropper, emotion worker, and she uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all grapple with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Healthy Tuesday, Sarah. Nice to see you this week.
Nice to see you too.
It's actually, we're in our second week of mental health awareness. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and so it's always nice to be able to get together and talk about what's going on in our lives. And here we are 8 weeks into things that really haven't changed because most of us are sheltered in some form or another, and our lives have been forever altered moving forward. But we still have really nothing new or concrete about what's happening now or in the future. But because it's Mental Health Awareness Month, I thought it'd be a good time to talk about those things we can do to take care of ourselves during this time and actually during all times of our lives. And that also revolves around something that happened to me last week when I was spending some time perusing through Facebook, which I don't do often, but I have done it more than usual in the last few weeks. And I found myself looking at one of my friend's posts, and there was a video that was attached to it. And I generally never click on them because I don't want to get lost going down into a rabbit hole of information. So I usually just skip by. But for some reason, this video really caught my eye. And so I clicked on it, and up comes this, you know, beautiful piano music, and then these really incredible images of 235 inmates from a California prison. And they're just walking into the yard of their prison kind of slowly and creating this huge circle within the prison yard. And they all kind of stop and they're looking around at each other. And it's a really big circle. And I just want to play a little bit of it for you to get a sense of what I stumbled upon.
It's time now, everyone. We're going to do the compassion trauma circle. Is everyone ready to face their past with compassion? Is that a yes?
Yeah!
While you were growing up, during your first 18 years of life, if a parent or other adult in the household often or very often would swear at you, insult you, put you down, or humiliate you, step inside the circle. If a parent or other adult in the household often or very often pushed, grabbed, slapped, or threw something at you, step inside the circle. If a parent or other adult in the household often or very often ever hit you so hard that you had marks or were injured, step inside the circle. If you often felt that no one in your family loved you or thought you were important or special, step inside the circle. If your family lived in extreme poverty, step inside the circle. Step inside the circle. Step inside the circle. Step inside the circle.
And as you can imagine, as each question was read throughout this 6-minute video, this circle got smaller and smaller as the men stepped forward and stepped forward as they recognized themselves in these questions and also recognized their commonality as a group and the things that they had experienced together. And so at the end of the video, I instantly went to the website and contacted the information. I sent it a blank email or an email to the information saying, I'm so fascinated by what you are doing here in this project, Step Inside the Circle. And it's called the Compassion Prison Project. Would anyone be willing to speak with me? And I think within 5 minutes, I got an email back from the executive director and founder of the Compassion Prison Project and the woman whose voice that you heard on the video saying, yes, I'd be happy to talk to you about what we're doing here. And so I am really happy to share with you a conversation, or the conversation we're going to have with Fritzi Hortzman. She is the founder and executive director of Compassion Prison Project, but she is also a Grammy Award-winning producer for her work on The Defiant Ones. She's been a producer and post-producer on dozens of television projects and documentaries and has directed several films. And Fritzi believes that this is an urgent time that we bring humanity and compassion to those living behind bars. And also by bringing compassion and humanity to those living behind bars, we will also be transforming society. And so I can think of no better topic than compassion for Mental Health Awareness Month, because compassion itself is just that feeling of warmth and kindness towards ourselves and others in moments of distress, accompanied by a desire to alleviate suffering. And I know that many of us have been probably struggling with compassion for ourselves, feeling a lot of distress, and maybe in turn having a hard time feeling compassion for anyone else because things really are stressful right now. But often the best way to tend to our mental health is to get outside of our own story and start to pay attention to those around us who are also in need and who are suffering, and to be able to see their humanity and to give them grace. Can often be healing for ourselves, but also for the people that we learn to have compassion and grace for. So today's conversation is going to be about the Compassion Prison Project, but it's also going to be about Fritzi Hortzman and her life, and why would this be something that she would devote her time and energy to. I am Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. You can be part of the conversation today, kind of virtually. The number that we're using is 805-549-8855. It's not our typical number, so you might have to write it down, 805-549-8855. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, you can call in, and Claire will send the question over to Sarah, who will then share it with me, and we will make sure that we get it on the air. And if you'd like to be part of the conversation but not be on the air, you can always send me an email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. I always like to hear from you and respond after the show. You can follow us on Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT. The show is posted every week, or on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, to get updates and information. And I'll try to link this video, Step Inside the Circle, with you after the show. And if you'd like to listen to previous shows, you can always visit kcbx.org or go under the podcast tab to check all our shows for the last 10 years. Or you can podcast our shows by visiting wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe and the shows will be uploaded to listen to at your convenience. So here we are today. We're going to be talking about compassion. We're going to talk about mental health. And we're going to get to know my guest, Fritzi Hortzman. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back to get started.
Oh, why you look so sad? The tears are in your eyes. Come on and come to me. Ashamed to cry. Let me see you through. 'Cause I've seen the dark side too. When the night falls on you, you don't know what to do. Nothing you confess could make me love you less. I'll stand by you. I'll stand by you. Won't let nobody hurt you. I'll stand by you.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and I am happy to introduce my guest, Fritzi Hortzman. Fritzi, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. It's so great to be here. Thank you for playing Step Inside the Circle, that little excerpt. It made me cry again.
And we get to see it because we're Zooming together. So it makes it even more powerful. I encourage people to look for it on Vimeo or just Google Step Inside the Circle, and you'll be able to watch that clip as well. But I love when things come together easily, Fritzi. And it was so easy for us to connect last week that it felt like this conversation was meant to be.
So, absolutely. Spirit moves in great ways. Go ahead.
No, we'll find our rhythm here. But I just wanted to start off by talking about the Compassion Prison Project, because that's what brought us together. And if you could talk a bit about what it is that you're doing.
Compassion Prison Project, is the goal of it is to bring compassion, childhood trauma awareness, and creative inspiration to the men and women living in prison. And I came up with this idea over a year ago when I walked inside a prison experiment done by Kat Hoke. She has a thing called Hustle 2.0. I went to this day. We spent a day inside a prison, inside a maximum security prison, and I cried for 8 hours. And what I realized when I walked in there was that the trauma that I had experienced as a child was almost identical to the trauma that the men that I was visiting had experienced in their childhood. And when I saw my shared humanity with these men and what they were doing to these men, instead of bringing compassion, bringing trauma awareness, trauma healing, I decided I had to do something. Because I asked Kat, the moderator of Hustle 2.0, I said, when are we coming back? And she said, in 6 months. And I just didn't feel, I felt like I had made a connection with these men. And I was like, okay, I'm going to figure something out. I'm going to get back in here.
And so the nonprofit Compassion Prison Project is only a year old then?
Correct.
And so I would imagine it's transformed your whole life, because you were busy working as a producer and director of films and winning Grammy Awards. Like, how have these two things gone together? Did you have to step away from your other life to pursue this?
When I started the program on January 5th, 2019, I was already working a full-time job on a show called Perpetual Grace Limited, and I was full on in it. So we just would go on Saturdays. And after about 4 months, it was like, okay, this is what I need to be doing. It's not a part-time job. This has to be full-time. So in July, when I finished work, I just said, that's it. I'm not going back. I'm doing this. And, my husband, I'm the half breadwinner of this family. And he's like, well, how's this going to work? Mm-hmm. And, we were down in March. My husband's like, are you going to spend all the last savings we have on this film? And I was like, yes, this is it. We have to do this. We have to take this leap of faith, because this is what I should be doing. And if I don't take this risk now, I'll just have to go back to, it wasn't mediocre, but it was mediocre. There's like when your soul says, this isn't who you are, this isn't what you should be doing. You need to, when I walk into those sacred gates at a prison, I feel like I am in the right spot. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where I need to be for these 7 hours. And, when you have that, information, you have to act on it.
Is the project, because part of it is the documentary that will be Step Inside the Circle, but the project is bigger than just creating a documentary for you. It's actually transforming the lives of these men and women who are behind bars. And what does that look like outside of this initial moment of recognition of our shared humanity of experiencing trauma and, struggling with toxic stress? What does the project look like in action?
Well, it's a 12-week course that we came up with, but the focus, the real, the heart of the matter is getting getting the information about childhood trauma to the men and women, and the what happens to your brain, body, and spirit when you're traumatized. Because I don't think a lot of the public understands what trauma does to the brain. The brain wants to be safe. The lizard brain takes over. So that's the amygdala. The amygdala gets bigger, and it's the fear center. So when the fear center takes over your brain, you will do anything to keep your body safe. And that could mean kill somebody. That could mean, or you could freeze. You know, you've heard of fight or flight. Well, this fight thing, or it also manifests in road rage. That's like kind of a more common thing that we have all experienced. Or when you have when you're drunk and you don't remember what happened, there is something that takes over. Your prefrontal cortex goes offline, which is your executive function. When that stops working, which insurance companies know this about teenagers, their prefrontal cortex is half developed until they're 25. I don't know why the rest of society doesn't know what happens when your brain and body are traumatized. So this information, I believe, is like the key to transforming how we treat the men and women in prison, because most of them are traumatized like severely. The people that murder people, I know you know what an ACE test is. The ACE, yeah. It's Adverse Childhood Experiences Test. And it's 10 questions that gauge the extent of trauma that was in your childhood. And this is the basis of what Step Inside the Circle. We use those questions and then other questions about homelessness, foster care, juvenile justice, violence in the street, those kinds of things that these men and women are exposed to from, you know, birth. And when you're traumatized to this extent, developmentally, you are not the same magnificent being that came out of your mother. Suddenly your body is reacting in ways that are violent, that are out of control, and that people have decided mean you're morally you're morally corrupt. And it's the moral corruption that has informed our criminal justice system and has given the death penalty credence and how we treat and abuse the incarcerated population.
It was interesting because on the website, there's a quote, and I think it's at the beginning of the trailer as well, by Gabor Mate, who I adore. He's a trauma specialist in the mental health field and has been talking about the extent to which childhood trauma has influenced not just people behind bars, but just people in general in their lives, and how experiencing childhood trauma impacts our marriages and our friendships and our day-to-day functioning in our jobs, that this is more than just the trauma of someone who ends up in prison, that this trauma effect is universal. And Gabor talks about how difficult it is to get healing if you don't address that early childhood trauma that so many people experience. And he says, I think at the beginning, childhood trauma and mental health, mental illness are connected. They go hand in hand, and they're very common together in the prison population. So according to Dr. Gabor Mate, we have in our prisons the most traumatized people in our society. And that in itself is enough to make us need to stop and reconsider how we utilize justice, or even if it's called justice.
Exactly. Because this is not justice, and this isn't who we really are. And we're really, and I think everybody has had this feeling like what we're doing in our justice system is kind of, it's almost bizarro. It doesn't really make sense, but we've gotten into this pattern, you know, but it's a system based on violence. You know, all of it is, it's that this person is wrong and I'm right, and he needs to be punished and I need to be vindicated. And it's this separation. One of the big symptoms of trauma is a feeling of separation, that we're not in this together. And our whole society is traumatized from slavery, what we did with the American Indian, the American Indians, what we've done, Jim Crow, all the things, lynching, all the things that we've done, immigration, all the things that we've done to people that are less fortunate than we are. And, we share this consciousness of trauma. And until we heal this and start forgiving ourselves, that's why I say no shame, because if we shame ourselves, we're not going to forgive ourselves. And so we cannot do any public shaming or, point fingers, because it keeps this paradigm in place. And so in the film, I say there is no shame. There's accountability. I did something wrong, which is what, when you're incarcerated, you've done something wrong and you've done something really terrible. And that act needs to be dealt with. And our justice system doesn't even deal with that act. The people that the victims go home, they're still traumatized. Someone's in jail now, but they're still left with a wound and, they're not really recovered. So when you do restorative justice, which is one of the principles of, this paradigm shift that I'm proposing, when you bring the victim, if they're willing, and the person who committed the crime together, and they can work this out and find a way to heal this harm and give back and give back and give back until this heal is this wound is healed, a shift happens. And this is the shift we need to make collectively. My big vision, the vision I have for 3 years from now, is to create wellness centers instead of prisons throughout the United States and throughout the world. I'm focusing on the United States right now because I believe we have the most injustice and we have the biggest prison population in the world. So we have to start here. There's 1,833 prisons. And so right now we're actually starting to connect with some of these prisons and bring the circle and this trauma awareness and the ACE tests and getting this information to all the men and women so they can start forgiving themselves. When you find out, when I found out, I have an ACE score of 7 of a possible 10. When I found out that I was traumatized and that my violent acts and my outbursts and road rage, and when I understood that this was from my trauma and this wasn't who I was, that epiphany just changed my entire life. And in the trajectory is actually, you can see it with me just stomping into prisons every Saturday.
Taking control of your life, right? Stepping in and making it and move in a different direction. If you're just tuning in, my guest is Fritzi Horstman. She is the founder and executive director of Compassion Prison Project. And we're talking about how we can teach the gifts of compassion and healing to those that are spending time behind bars, but also to help extend this awareness about compassion and adverse childhood experiences and childhood trauma that are in some ways universal. In some ways, you can see childhood trauma in almost anyone who's struggling with mental illness in some way. You're invited to be part of our conversation in kind of our unique virtual way by calling 805-549-8855. You can give your question or comment to Claire, who will pass it on to me. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And Fritzi, you started to talk about your ACE score. And let's talk about that, because, something had to trigger your interest and your passion for doing this work with inmates. Like, clearly you didn't go from being a housewife making cookies and then all of a sudden the prison population was calling to you. Let's talk about your journey to this work.
So I was having coffee with my good friend Seth, and he's a therapist. And I said, I was abused as a child. And he said, I'm so sorry, Fritzi, which is the thing I say when I hear anyone's been abused. I'm so sorry. And he said, read this book, The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk. I read that, I devoured that book, because what in those pages was information about what was happening to me that I didn't even know, and what's happened to our society that we don't even know. We have opioid addiction, we have suicide, we have COVID comorbidity, which is basically, I would say, trauma. Our life expectancy is going down now. And if you have six or more ACEs, you lose 20 years of your life. My parents, both my mother was severely traumatized, and my father, I don't know the extent, but he died at 61. My mother died at 69. So there's a good clue that they were heavily traumatized. My father grew up in a Lutheran, strict Lutheran household. And that is basically the paradigm of Nazi Germany. It was a strict Lutheran household. And Adolf Hitler was also severely traumatized. So these are the results of what trauma does. And, you know, now that we know better, we must do better. And now that, and I'm going to talk about this to everybody on this planet, until this paradigm shifts.
When did you realize that, you know, did you grow up having a sense that you'd been traumatized or abused when you were young? And, you know, how did that impact you? How did it impact your development?
Well, I never felt safe in my home. I never knew when I was going to get hit. There was always a consequence for no matter what I did. My mother grew up in a sharecropper's farm. She was beaten every day. She was also an orphan. So she's also been abandoned. So these kinds of events in people's life, it shapes your own awareness of who you are. And my father was an alcoholic, which is, it's another ACE element, so, you know, and so he wasn't, his first love was the alcohol. It wasn't his children or his wife. So he was kind of checked out. My mother was too checked in. She was a rageaholic. And so there was no sense of ever being safe. Thank God we got a dog. And also thank God my mother, she was also my champion. She could pull herself out of the rage and then just say, you know, you are something, you can be something. Look, you know, she also saw the magic in me. So I had that. And the people that live in prison, they're never been seen. They've never been seen with potential, with magic, with their divine gifts. And I walk in there and I see all of that. I can do nothing but see how magical they are. And when you reflect that to them, the joy and the relief they have that they are not this monster that they've been told they have been since they were children, it's like a weight has been lifted. And then when I tell them there's no shame, they're free to start healing and to start wanting to give back and to shift the dynamics of the life that they've been given. They're victims too. All the murderers have ACE scores averaging between 8, 9, and 10. And so they have the worst childhoods you can imagine. Gabriel Fernandez, there's a Netflix documentary called The Trials of Gabriel Fernandez. The abuse that he endured is very similar to what the men that I've been working with have endured, only they survived. So that's the difference. So when you think about what these men and women have been through, there has to be compassion instead of more trauma and punishment and dehumanization. I mean, that's what we're doing. When they come into reception, they're stripped down naked and they're just, you know, they're told they are the worst of the worst of the worst.
I think what's interesting about this topic also, when we couch it in this idea of compassion, which is the feeling of warmth and kindness that we have toward ourselves and toward others in moments of distress, I think what's challenging in our society is that we tend to not look at our own capacity to do horrible things, or that, you know, we try to other every other experience. Like, I would never murder someone, or I could never get so angry that I hurt another being, or I would never be in that position. And when we stop being able to recognize, have compassion for our own capacity to do horrible things or to be evil or to lash out or be rageful, then it's very hard to have compassion for others. It's almost like we can push them into prison or, you know, out of society or aside because they aren't us. And it sounds like what you're talking about is some way that you connected experiences you had and recognized the potential inmate in yourself, which allowed you to be able to connect with these men.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And women. I've been to a couple women's prisons. So when you see yourself in anyone, you know, that's called humanity. You know, that's why we watch movie stars. We see our divine possibilities in these actors and actresses or rock stars. But that's the same thing. I see my divine possibility in the men and women at prison, because I don't see just their trauma, because my trauma, once I got past I think I'll always be working with my trauma. But once I kind of recognize that I am not my trauma, I'm able to see clearly. I'm able to see that the man standing in front of me, whose mother tried to slit his throat when he was six, is a magnificent man. You know, he made so many mistakes, but he didn't know what true north was. He had no one to tell him the way through. And, you know, when you're a little child, all you want to do is please somebody. So who are you going to please? You're going to please your gang. You're going to please somebody who's taking care of you. And so, you know, we must find ways to get into these communities that are so demoralized and traumatized. I mean, that's it. Those communities are traumatized. Just the way their backyards look. They don't have the sense that they need to make things glorious in their neighborhood. They don't have that sense. And that's what we can do that. We can see them as a magnificent people and uplift them, and by doing so, uplift ourselves.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Fritzi Horsman. She is the heart-centered founder and executive director of Compassion Prison Project. We are talking today about developing compassion and finding humanity and love for all beings. And Fritzi has found her love and compassion for those that are incarcerated. And by dipping into her understanding of childhood trauma and adverse childhood experiences, she's been able to develop a program to bring compassion and love and light to those who have been incarcerated and help to transform not only their lives, but society as a whole. And you're invited to be part of our conversation. If you have a question or a thought, our number is 805-549-8855. You can also send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And if you'd like to take a look at what Fritz and I are talking about, you can find a trailer to Step Into the Circle just by doing a quick Google search. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to take your calls and continue our conversation. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness. Narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded streets. Don't walk around the down and out, lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes,
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And we are talking with Fritzi Horstmann, who I happened to find through just a random experience on Facebook, looking at my friend's posts. And there was this video that caught my eye. And as I said at the top of the show, I rarely hit any of these things because then you just get lost for days. But for some reason, I was drawn to this video called Step Inside the Circle. And it was 6 minutes of watching this woman speaking to 235 inmates about trauma and about their childhood experiences and how these childhood experiences of being traumatized and experiencing toxic stress had created this perfect storm for them to end up incarcerated. And I was so moved by the video that I emailed right away for information. And Fritzi was on the phone right away. And we set up this date for this week to talk about this and her experience of pretty much stepping away from her life as a Grammy award-winning producer and director to devote herself to the Compassion Prison Project. And it's timely because this is Mental Health Awareness Month. And when it comes to helping people in general with their mental health, one of the biggest challenges is helping people find compassion for themselves, actual love for self. For some reason, most of us are capable of finding love and care for other people or animals or things outside of ourselves. But quite often, our biggest challenge as individuals in the best of circumstances is finding compassion and warmth and kindness for ourselves. And so imagine then if you had a childhood where you experienced events that were so painful, so distressful, that they often result in lasting mental illness and physical effects. And then on top of that, you've grown up in a neighborhood with diminished conditions and lack of access to food or education or resources. And you put these two things together and you have someone who's experienced advanced childhood trauma. These extended periods of stress cause us to then have a difficult time making good decisions, holding our attention, learning new concepts, being able to respond to stress well. And then you find this perfect storm for committing crimes that can end up with your life being spent behind bars. And these are the things that drew Fritzi to this work. And I was fascinated about this because quite often if we can't find compassion for ourselves, sometimes stepping outside of our own story and finding compassion for someone else, involving ourselves in their lives, can help us to heal as well. And I'm imagining for Fritzi, this has been part of your journey.
Absolutely. And one point I want to emphasize in what you just were describing is shame really keeps compassion away. Shame is something that we feel that we are more like something is really wrong with us. And when we say, okay, there's no shame. Something is not wrong with me. I am okay. It kind of opens the possibility for self-compassion. And that's why this shame piece I feel is so important, because shame is like throughout our society. We shame people for what they eat, what they look like, what they wear, for their wrinkles, for who they marry, for not being successful, for being too successful. You really can't win in the way we've got things grokked. So I say there is no shame. We came here. We're magnificent. You know, we have all these stories and all these experiences that led to this moment of who we are. And let's release the shame of, you know, okay, so I made a mistake when I was 21. I cheated on my boyfriend, or I was bulimic. But all those experiences got me to this moment of who I am. And this moment, I feel that I'm magnificent. I feel I feel like everybody else is magnificent. Every single person listening to this radio show is magnificent. And you may be carrying some shame around you, but start looking at that. Start looking at how you've been conditioned to feel like you're not enough. Advertising and, you know, just your upbringing, which is, you know, all of our parents were given shame, and a lot of our religions talk about shame. So when I go into a prison, I tell them there is no shame. There's accountability, but there is no shame.
Sarah, you're holding up your hand. We must have had a call.
We've gotten a couple of calls, actually. Charlie wanted to comment that he had a very rewarding experience teaching natural resource conservation at Lompoc in 1999. He wanted to add that he realized that these inmates are really good people and he felt good about connecting with them. We also had another caller with a question. Lori would like the guest, Fritzy. Lori would like Fritzy to comment, please, on the deep racism and anger that exists in the prisons. How can you change those difficult dynamics?
It's a very interesting thing, especially in California. When you are in reception, they ask you what gang you want to be part of. So racial separation happens at the systemic level of our institutions. In New York, I believe, I don't think there is a, you don't belong to a gang when you're in New York. So this is something, I mean, and other prison systems have this racial divide, but California is probably the worst. And what happens is this, you go in and you join a gang for your own protection. So you're protected by the black gorillas, let's say. The problem is you have to do the bidding of the black gorillas. So you really, it's again, you're not safe because again, everyone's traumatized and they all want something instead. They don't want the, anyway, I don't really want to get into the whole gang politics, but this division mirrors our society. It's what we do. It's what we do in, you know, our neighborhoods. It's what we do with immigration. We other each other. And instead of embracing each other and looking out for each other, we find ways to create separation. And
so,
yeah.
So I guess to keep with Lori's point, when you come in and do the work within the prisons, are you able to cross those boundaries? Or are you able to somehow separate or bring together? That's the better term. Are you able to bring together these factions? And what does that look like?
Yes. We leave our racial divisions at the door. And one of the great moments of last year was they decided to have an interracial basketball game. The guys from my class decided to have an interracial basketball game, but that freaked out the guards, the correctional officers. And so they put a kibosh on that by taking the two leaders of my class out of my class. So this really threatens the whole structure of prison. And, but yes, there are pictures where you'll see an African American on my website. You'll see an African American next to a Latino man, and there is no racial separation in that class. And you'll see in Step Inside the Circle, that's one of the things that happens when we're all doing the trauma circle together, is it really brings the whole class together because our traumas and our pain is what connects us. And our victories and our celebrations are what connect us. So as we enlarge our vision of who we are, we can end the separation and really start taking care of each other, which is I believe what we all really want deep down.
Well, which is usually what the lure around belonging to a gang is that it provides that safety that you couldn't find within your home or in your neighborhood. It gives you a sense of belonging to something bigger than yourselves. A lot of the research around gang membership is all about creating family and connection where it doesn't exist. So I would imagine that would be very strong within the prison system, that you have to create some sort of safety there. But, so talk about then what makes Step Inside the Circle or the Compassion Prison Project so powerful. What does the class look like? Where do you start and what is the ending of this experience?
So we drive for 2 hours to Kern Valley State Prison and we bring a boatload of snacks. Like once we brought probably 300 bagels. We bring so many snacks and we shower them with love, compassion, and snacks. They joke that we're here for the snacks, but it's what happens is it's alchemy. We're bringing in, when we bring in love and we see who they cannot deny that they mean something to the world. And one of the exercises we do is it's called you matter. So we go around the circle and we ask people, why do they matter? And some people say, you know, because I'm a leader or because, you know, I'm a brother. And then a lot of the guys just said, I matter because I exist. That was one of the biggest lessons I ever had, because I'm such a doer and I'm like, I can do this. Look at me. It's always to be seen. And what I realized is just being is enough. We don't, you know, and that's what we're, I think that's what this COVID time is just so we can know that we're enough just to be and to laugh and to see each other, to cook for each other and, you know, to take a walk, you know, all that is enough. We don't have to be Bill Gates or, you know, we don't have, it's like insane what we've been told we need to become. And just to have the sense of being alive and being appreciated and appreciating, I mean, that's like, those are the real values of being alive.
It sounds like it's transformed you in so many ways. Because I wonder how your experience, you know, winning a Grammy Award compares to where you are now in your life. Has it changed your value system doing this work?
Oh, big time. I mean, you know, I think that Grammy Award, it's that thing, you know, you want something and then you get it and you're like, oh, okay. I got that. And I mean, my little girl really always wants to be seen. And because the family dynamics that I grew up in, my sister really got all the attention. And so I'm highly aware of, you know, sometimes I'll act out just so I can be seen. I was a little rebel teenager doing all kinds of bad stuff. And, you know, so that Grammy meant a lot to me, and it still does, just in the sense that it's helping me, it helped me make this film, and it gives me a little credence to people for whatever reason they think I have credence. But the fact is, you know, I'm just making it up as I go along like the rest of us. And we all are important, and we all deserve Grammys, and we all deserve every award that there ever was. You know, I'm going to give you an award today for being just a magnificent host. You get an award for that. But I know you think it's ridiculous, but that's, so forget the awards. You know, right. You're just magnificent. And that's, we don't need an award to know that.
So do you think that just pure passion and love and compassion for another is enough to bring healing to them?
Absolutely. And it's enough to bring healing to ourselves, because that's the real algorithm. Because, and I say that to the men, I said, how do you expect people to have compassion for you when you don't have it for yourself? Mm-hmm. And it's the same, it's just the same in reverse. So it's really, it requires that we all take a good look at ourselves. It's like, where am I not being compassionate? Where am I being violent to myself? You know, I talk to my volunteers every day, you know, we're creating a new paradigm of compassion. So we need to work on compassion for ourselves. We can't ask the world to be compassionate if we haven't worked that out within our own organization. So, you know, I'm constantly looking at where I have violence in my life. Like, where have I yelled at my husband? Where am I, like, telling my son, you know, stop it? but, you know, these things can be violent. And that's in just, you know, in our, you know, just road rage or just how we interact with our neighbor.
Those, or our self-talk, just our day-to-day self-talk when we look in the mirror and do our daily, you know, picking at everything we don't like.
Especially our self-talk, because that leaches out into the rest of the world. You know, if we hate ourselves, if we hate that wrinkle that grew last night, we don't have enough compassion. So we have to examine what we see in the mirror, because, you know, we're alive. We're here in this form. In my 57-year-old body is as good as a 57-year-old body can be. And, you know, fine. And I'm 57. And I just read an article that's officially old. Well, I don't know. I know I'm a lot younger than some other people out there, but no comparisons. The thing is, you know, let them tell me I'm old. The thing is, I'm alive and I'm here and I'm exquisite. You know, and I, not to be an egotist, it doesn't feel like it. It's just because I see your exquisiteness, But if I don't see it in myself, I can't see yours.
Absolutely.
So, and to call it out, to call that, yes, I am amazing. You are amazing. Let's call it out for everyone. You know, give your neighbor, give that person you've never seen some beauty and grace. What a shift in the day.
Well, and again, being in this time of uncertainty and everyone feels fear and everyone feels like the world is upside down, the only thing we really can control in this moment is our capacity for compassion. I mean, that's what it sounds like you're giving, is that these men and women have no control over their daily lives. They're incarcerated, they're behind bars. So the only thing they now can do is to learn to grow self-love and compassion and care and kindness. Because there is nothing else that they can change. And in some ways, that's maybe our lesson for Mental Health Awareness Month, as we spend, you know, even people who struggle with mental health issues like depression or anxiety or eating disorders spend so much time beating themselves up for the things that they struggle with that it prevents them from ever healing. And so that capacity to feel good only can arrive when we have compassion for ourselves. And you had mentioned earlier, you know, having bulimia. You aren't bulimia. It's something that you struggled with. It's just one of the pieces of Fritzy. And when you can step out and you're able to love all of those pieces of yourselves, you were then able to translate that to the work within the prisons. If you've just tuned in, my guest is Fritzy Horseman, and she is the founder and executive director of Compassion Prison Project. And as I'm sure you can hear the passion in her voice, she has spent the last year and a half of her life devoted to bringing love and compassion to those most traumatized within our prison system. And Fritzy, how can people get involved? What kind of help do you need for your organization if someone hears this and says, I want to learn this work?
Oh, it's amazing. Thank you for asking. We have, go to our website, first of all. And for the two things that people, I ask people to do is take the ACE test so they understand the extent of childhood trauma they may have experienced.
And where also, is that? Where
that's is that? That's on the website under childhood trauma. We might just have it say ACEs eventually, but it's there. So take the ACE test and you'll see what we do in the circle. That's the ACE test right there. And then also find out about your local prisons, like how many prisons are in your state. I can tell you, I know about California pretty well, but find out how much are we spending? What are the programs? What prisons are, like the prison I go to is a maximum and they're in their cells for 23 hours a day. Find out about those things. What kind of vice does your local prison union have on policy? So, you know, they want to keep prisons in business. So they're traumatizing those guys even more. So they'll come back. They'll go out. They come in traumatized. They go out traumatized. That's a customer. Now, we don't want any more customers. We want humans being taken care of by humans. That's our mission. And then, so if you want to donate or if you want to volunteer, if you have some great ideas or if you want to become a board member because you really know how to do that, we're open to all and all support because we need everyone on board to shift this paradigm. And, you know, just listening to me and, you know, talking with your family and being compassionate, that's a shift right there. And know you're magnificent. Like, that's really important. I just want everyone to know that this special day we have on Earth is a gift and you're a gift. It's just, it's true. And, I know because I feel it myself. And, you know, ever since I learned about my trauma, it's been uphill from here. I mean, it's not uphill. It's sky's the limit.
Yes. the battle has brought you this opportunity to lift yourself in your life. And so the website is the CompassionPrisonProject.org. Easy to find. And how has your family life changed in the year that you've been doing this? How are you different as a mom or wife having done this work?
Well, my husband doesn't want me to talk about prison at breakfast. That's like the first request. My son, you know, he sees the snacks come in. He's like, so you're going to prison tomorrow, huh, mom? But for the most part, I'd say, you know, it's, I don't know if it's really changed because I've always been busy. So I'm just, now I'm shifted to this new busy, which is, you know, which is a symptom of trauma, is being a workaholic. So I am working on family time. We play Parcheesi as much as possible. And on Golden Pond we're going to watch soon. So we are, you know, we're finding balance. We're finding balance, but it's also been kind of, you know, we've gotten over 500 volunteer requests and, you know, over 1,000 donors just sending, you know, just really starting to take care of this issue that we've uncovered. And, you know, write to your congressman, write to your state. You know, we have Sacramento. They really need to know what you think about trauma, childhood trauma in the prison system.
So would there be more counselors available in prison? Do you think it takes, you know, mental health professionals going in to work with the trauma? Or do you think it's enough to have these circled group experiences to lift these men and women?
We need wellness centers. We do not need prisons. Full stop. That's it. My vision is in 3 years, we will have wellness centers and only a third of the population will be left because all these people will be healed instead of traumatized. And we need those men and women back in our communities. We need them back with their families because they have the tools. They have more tools than the people in the communities have because they've been working on themselves. They've been looking at their trauma and, you know, they've been in here in a lot of men and women have been in there for 10, 15, 20 years. And that's a lot of time to take inventory. And so we need them back because they've got the tools and I'll help them. We're doing a thing called the Giving Back Project where we give back to the communities we've harmed and fundraising, art, spoken word, music, whatever it is that will that is a gesture of love and responsibility. That's what these guys are doing, these guys and women.
So it sounds like part of the healing is that once they're released back out into society, they have an opportunity to make amends, to give healing back to their community as part of their healing, that when we can make good on the things that we did poorly, we can bring back change.
Absolutely.
So Frissy, thank you so much for responding to my email and being so willing to jump in here with me today. If people want to get in touch with you, they were going to send an email to compassionprisonproject.org, info@compassionprisonproject.org.
Exactly. Yes.
And check out the video that's on the website. It will move you. And I look forward to checking in with you again in a year to see how far you've gone with your project. And you can find out more by visiting my website or send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. You can podcast our show if you need some company. Look where you do your podcast. Hit subscribe. Our shows will be there. I look forward to jumping back in next Tuesday to continue our conversation. Thank you for tuning in and supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Over the atmosphere.